Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, Steven.
I was about to ask, I wonder why they make pillows with covers like this.
Luke, are you going to go lay down?
No, I'm just going in here.
Oh, okay.
Welcome, Ryan.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Ryan.
Yes.
You just came out with Retrograde?
Yes, I did. That released January 15th.
Like the whole thing?
Well, the rough draft, not rough draft, it is edited right now, but I'm going to try and turn it into a full book by the end of the year and have it published. So what I did was release a small dosage of it to gain a fan base.
Hmm. Yeah, I saw the ad. It looked really cool.
Yeah, I did 10 ads to the release, and they got pretty positive feedback, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah. That's what I was talking to you about that a little bit ago. You said you had like a bunch of people like order like previews or something.
They ordered the whole story. So I had actually about 20 physical copies go out and about roughly 15 digital.
For people to read or for like?
For people to read, yes.
So the goal is for it to become a book. So did you release the book?
Well, there's no reason not to at this point because the original intent was to create a script to turn into a movie. But in order to creatively get those ideas out there, I have to turn it into, I have to write it in book format. So when I wrote Retrograde, it was long enough and big enough that there's no point not to just get it published if I can.
Well, why don't you tell us first, like, what, like, because, like, we've talked to you about your company, but maybe people don't know what your company is. Like, yeah. Explain what your company is.
Yeah, so I, in 2016, came up with the idea of starting Fitzgerald Productions. I didn't have a name. It was actually Fitzgerald Film Productions back then, but I cut out the film so that way it's more broad and able to do more things if I want. But I came up with the idea in 2016, and I didn't really start gunning down on the hard work till late 2017, early 2018. And basically my goal is to provide a message of hope through creative entertainment, to create what has never been created, and to invoke an emotional experience through the power of imagination.
To invoke an emotional experience through the power of imagination?
Yes, and I'm going to turn my scripts into movies, and the goal is to really send a message of hope, basically.
One thing that's interesting about you is, like, you're so, like, ambitious. Like, you want to, like, you've talked about, like, your theme park, and you've talked about, like, you, like, I think of all my friends, you're the only one that's really actually, like, seriously thought, like, I'm going to move to California, or, like, I'm going to, like, do something crazy, crazy.
There's no question I'm going to do it, because it's honestly the reason I pursue it so hard is because I know it's possible. People have done it before. Everything you're sitting on looking at has been created by somebody else.
Yeah.
And so it's just there's nothing that can hold you back if you have that mindset.
Hmm. Yeah. It's just crazy because like you just have so much it's almost fun to talk to you about it because your ambition is like sky's the limit.
Well,
so it's fun to talk to you about it.
I appreciate it. I enjoy talking to people about it because I'm very passionate about it, so it consumes a lot of my life. So when people ask me about it, I get to share my thoughts and
have
fun.
Do you ever
get
discouraged?
I do. You just kind of have to push through that.
Yeah. What is there something specifically that causes you to be discouraged? Like for me, I would imagine if, let's say I show up to a party. Like so, for instance, you came over here the other night and you met some people. And you kind of told them about what you did. If they were to give me negative feedback, I would find that really discouraging. Are those types of things what you find discouraging?
No, negative feedback isn't really the discouraging factor for me because I know I'm going to create things that are not top-notch. There's going to be some bad among the good.
Oh, that's interesting.
But the discouragement I face is when people just completely disregard everything I'm doing and act like it's not possible.
Wow. That's interesting. That's pretty self-aware, I would say. So you know that when you start off, you're not going to be great.
Well, yeah. Look at as much as I love and Awaken and a Dream was a passion project, but that was a tank. It didn't do well on YouTube. It didn't do well receiving. The only people who liked it were the people that were in it or know the people in it.
What was that called?
Awaken and a Dream.
Wow.
Did you show me that video?
I don't know. I didn't really show people a lot of it.
Dude, that's how I feel about this podcast, I feel like.
What?
I don't tell people about this podcast.
I don't tell them.
Just because I feel like It's more for us, honestly. Not to make this about us.
No.
We're going to get back to you.
Whatever works.
But I'm just saying, I don't tell people about this podcast because...
Except Luke, because he didn't get a mic.
Yeah. Well, he also has a headache, and he can sit out, or he can take my place, whatever. Yeah. Like, he's just kind of taking one from the team. That's what he does, though. But, you know, I don't tell people about this podcast because I, you know, similarly, Ryan, I know that this podcast is not great. This podcast isn't good. Like, we listen, people listen to, like, Joe Rogan and, like, all, like, the part of my takes and, like, all those things. And so I know that if I tell them to listen to our podcast, you know, it's not going to be great yet, but it could be good at some point.
Yeah.
And honestly, it is more for us. Like, one of the reasons we started doing this podcast is it's just a fun little hobby. Like, we can record our conversations. This is going to be documented. Much like photos on Instagram and Facebook are going to be documented for us to check back in 10 years or for our sons and daughters to listen to how, you know, how stupid their fathers were, you know, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like why we did it. And also for our friends. So, you know, I kind of understand. But, like, this is, like, a little bit of a creative endeavor. But I feel nervous telling the people. Like, I almost don't want people to know about the podcast.
Oh,
so I feel
– absolutely.
I respect your bravery almost. Because well, you have this goal. You have this thing that you want. And it is so difficult. And it you're being so vulnerable by pouring all these hours and you're saying, look, you know, you're being brave. I respect it.
Yeah.
You know,
I think a few things. One, I think you need to look at how, you know, Joe Rogan and people like that started. You know, they probably didn't have a great podcast to start.
No.
And they just went at it.
The first episodes of Rogan were bad.
Yeah. And so you... I don't know. I haven't listened to your podcast, but I'm happy to be a part of it here. But I think, I mean, from what I'm hearing right now, it's pretty decent. So you have to stay in that mindset of, you know,
right.
It can just keep improving.
Right.
But well, don't think I don't get nervous about releasing stuff. Before I released Retrograde, I was sick to my stomach.
Yeah. And I would imagine because I feel for you on that.
And I advertised it for 10 days straight.
Right.
And people were just like anticipating the buildup.
Right.
And
yeah.
It was.
No, it is. Doesn't it feel so good? So like, I bet when you released the stuff for Retrograde and you started getting people like good feedback, you were just like jacked. You were just like, yeah, baby.
I was. Yeah. I was very excited.
It's like, so cool. That's how we feel whenever we hear somebody listen to our podcast and it didn't suck. That's
or like
how we
so
feel.
For like the last episode. Like we just recently started like posting on Instagram. Like there was like a couple episodes we didn't edit, a couple like that sucked and like we didn't like post them, but then like cuz we didn't like they were just so bad. But then we finally started posting on Instagram and like people like message like blew up my direct message on Instagram. We're like, oh, I love the podcast. Oh, it's so great. And it's like, it just feels so good.
It just
you need,
crazy.
Yeah. Don't hold anything back on social media. Social media is our way of being able to spread everything we have.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
I mean, people probably get really annoyed with my social media because I post so much Fitzgerald Productions there, but
no,
you got to give it everything.
No, it really is. And like, that is so true. Cause that's what Elon does. Like, when
it all
comes
back to Elon.
No,
guy,
it's
I
really
swear.
True though. Like, because he does it for his business. Like, for
his
like
business is a little different
than
what we're talking about.
Obviously, it's a little different, but he uses the same thing what Ryan's saying. Like when he did like the Cybertruck review, he didn't invite a newspaper company. Or,
okay.
Like, he didn't invite any media. He invited like YouTubers and social media like
okay.
Famous Instagram people, and he didn't like people that have never been invited to these things.
Yeah, no,
and that's
I
because of what Ryan's saying.
No,
and like,
I agree.
It's
we
just
are
like
we are in the golden age of social media right now.
Yeah,
totally.
You could do anything with social media.
Totally,
it's awesome.
And like we were talking about, like you just there are so many people out there, and you just need a very small portion of people to like your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So like the with Fitzgerald Productions, you know, you could just have a half of a sliver of a fraction of people who like it and you can make money from it.
Right.
It could support you.
Self-sufficient.
Like you can live your dream. Wow. Like that's interesting. So how many hours a week do you think that you put into it? Because you have a full-time job.
Right.
And you have a full-time job that's 40 hours a week, right?
Yeah.
You don't do much overtime.
No, I don't. I try not to do any overtime. It's not because I don't want to. It's not because I don't want to work
that.
Hard, but it's because
no,
I mean, I have to. If I get up at 6, there still takes me almost an hour to get there, and then an
which
hour to get home,
which is crazy.
So we're talking about 10 hours a day. So I come home. Let's say I have roughly 8 to 9 hours left in the day.
Yeah.
You need to make time for your personal things that you need to get done, and then family. You need to keep both of those things in mind. And after that, every last hour you have, I try and pour into the Cheryl Productions.
Mm. What always blows my mind when I talk to you about this stuff is how much sleep you get. Because, like, I know there are people out there that can get, like, 5 or 4 hours a night and be fine. And, like, you're probably one of those people because, like, the amount of sleep you get is stupid.
The term be fine is relative. But I try and get 5 hours. I usually – my bedtime is 1 o'clock and I get up at 6.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is insane.
Dude, if Ryan, I don't go to bed at, like, midnight, I freak out.
What's, like, the most intense – like, have you ever, like, collapsed because you're so tired?
Yes, but it wasn't from – work.
What? Wait, hold on one second. Was this Disney related?
Yes, it was.
Wait, what? You collapsed because of what?
Hold I on. Didn't collapse. Hold I, on. Hold on. Hold last December, we were in Disney World, and the day before, I went to bed at 2 hours of sleep after working out at 3 a.m. And so after getting 2 hours of sleep, I got up and went to Magic Kingdom at 6. Okay. And we stayed until 2 a.m, so it was a 19-hour day at Magic Kingdom. And then I went back to the hotel and packed my bags and then went to the airport. Here, so there was absolutely no sleep
Ryan
involved.
Ryan, I have a question. For anyone listening, you love Disney.
Right.
So I actually just got into this discussion with somebody last Sunday about – because I know some people who want a honeymoon at Disney.
Right.
Do you think that's completely outrageous? Or no, could you see it? Or do you want
that's
it?
What I would love.
Really? Yeah. What are some of the pros? Because I feel like the cons are obvious. But what would some of the pros be? Like, why would you want to do this? That's what I'm saying.
I mean, it all roots back to Walt Disney for me. He created a magical atmosphere. Kingdom. Oh. Literally, when you're there, you feel like you can do anything. You could conquer anything.
Wow.
And so it's more inspirational, and to honeymoon there with a wife who would be ambitious like that would be absolutely incredible.
Just because you're surrounded by – I mean, I could positive, see that. I could positivity. See that. Because this Walt Disney guy had a dream, and then he created it. And then in that atmosphere, I'm sure being there, just knowing that is a little bit inspiring.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where my love from Disney roots from. Wow. Well, it's all from Walt. It's not from all the movies and stuff.
So then, really? I was thinking actually about this, Ryan, when I was in the shower this morning.
Wow.
I was thinking about you. When I was thinking good stuff, this morning, good stuff. I was thinking this morning about the shower. I don't even know why it came up in my head because I was listening to the Bible. And so at some point, you came up in my head. Anyway.
What's going on?
Where is this going?
So I was thinking about when you tried to get that Disney interview with that one guy. And then you got rejected.
Three times.
Yeah, three times you rejected. Whoa. So I had an experience with – when I was applying to colleges and I applied to Rolla S&T, and they sent me a letter saying, like, you're not accepted. And on top of that, it was at your whatever that test is you take, SAT?
Yeah, ACT.
Your ACT is too low. And to me, I was like, screw them. I'm not going to their school now. Like, I was, like, mad. I was mad at them because they, like, think – it basically made me feel like I not wasn't good enough to go there. Yeah. And so, like, thinking in my head, I know, thanks, Ben.
At the time, you were.
I know. Yeah. But I don't know. That's a whole other topic. But, like, so, like, for me, I didn't feel like Rolla was good enough for me. So then, like, when you were rejected three times by Disney, like, how did that affect you being, like, inspired by Disney?
I decided that I was going to create my own Disney.
But it didn't cause you to resent Disney.
No. It made me resent wanting to work there. But going there is a different story.
Mm. How many times have you been to Disney?
Probably 9.
9 times.
Just recently led my family on a Disney excursion.
I did. Wow. It was a good time.
Why don't you try to move to, like, where is it? Orlando?
Because it's not worth it. I'm pursuing my business at this point.
Oh.
Could you move your business anywhere, Ryan?
Technically speaking, yes. It's a matter of financial stability, though.
What's that, Ben? Luke just passed Ben his phone. Luke doesn't have a mic because we could only get 3 mics to work. Wow. That's why Luke doesn't have a mic.
It's just saying that Steve Allen's celebrating 48 years at Turkey Hill Ranch Bible Camp. That's a long time. Is that what you're saying, Luke?
Yeah.
Ryan, I should talk louder.
What do you think? I haven't talked to you about Turkey Hill in a long time. What do you think about Turkey Hill now that you've been, like, out of it for a long time, looking back?
Oh, boy.
In what aspect?
just like, what are your thoughts? Like, you've been out for a long time. Like, when I got out and I didn't go back for a year, I felt like my thoughts changed a lot about what I had experienced and seen at Turkey Hill.
Well, definitely. I think being young and able to focus on going to camp all summer, it definitely is a different aspect of life. You know, you see the young staffers, they're all in that state right now where they're all posting to each other all over social media and stuff, because that's where they connect. That's where you grow as a Christian. It's a really good place to grow as a Christian. You could grow other places, obviously. But when I couldn't go every summer and started going once a year, you know, my perspective changed a lot, because my future wasn't at Turkey Hill. It was, I had to figure out what my future was.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big thing for me, because it definitely trains you. But it's important to keep in mind that the atmosphere that it creates is not very realistic.
No.
The habits that you create there are very useful, for the real world. But the real world is very, very different. And the adjustment, it was a little hard for me, I would say. But, yeah, no, it's good. Are you still directing, by the way?
Once a year.
Okay.
Just 1 week.
Yeah.
Since I was only ever locked in at Turkey Hill, I only became one-dimensional Christian. We're only level of assembly. Because you're either like
that was your only experience.
I was there since I was 6 till I was 20.
Sure.
And so my whole life was one-dimensional assembly. Like,
yeah, I definitely agree that it probably would have been healthier to maybe not go to other churches. Mm-hmm. But definitely would have been healthier to maybe go to other camps or, you know, get a different perspective. Because you can have Bible-believing Christians who would agree with all the fundamental doctrines that they teach at Turkey Hill, but they would just have a different approach, or they would differ on certain things. Obviously, because when I was, 17, I found out about, Calvinism and Reformed theology, and I had no idea what that was until probably before I was 17.
And it made
probably
you more well-rounded.
Oh, totally.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Because even if you were to hear about it and then still disagree with it, you would still have a more well-rounded knowledge of the Bible, because you would have explored those trains of thought. And you would have come to your own conclusion. Now, I did, but I ended up agreeing with them.
Yeah. Turkey Hill's also in a hard position almost all the time, because they're needing more and more staff. But, so it's hard for them to encourage staffers to do this, to, go out and become, you know what I'm saying? Like if Turkey Hill doesn't believe in Reformed theology and they don't believe in all that, they can't just teach the staff.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely need people to staff. That's true. But I do think that they encourage people to go to other camps.
Anyway,
I don't know how we got.
I don't know either. I think it popped in my head.
But I'm sure Turkey Hill must have inspired you. I'm
sure. Probably has taken life
off. I'm sure Turkey Hill's inspired you a little bit in some of these creative endeavors.
I would actually disagree there.
Really? Ooh. Why? What'd you say?
I think Turkey Hill was a time of my life where I didn't really. I mean, I was writing Transgression, which is a story that is basically a sequel to Retrograde. I was writing Transgression through my teen years at Turkey Hill.
Wow.
But Turkey Hill was a time of my life where I didn't really have those aspirations other than spiritual growth and dating. That was basically it.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. When I was at Turkey Hill, it was probably the worst time of my life.
It's almost
Steven.
It's almost as when I went away from Turkey Hill all summer is when I was able to develop these ideas creatively.
Yeah.
Because it was just a different stage in life.
Okay.
What I mean by that, Ben, is when people get depressed, that's a bad time of life. That doesn't mean for a reason.
He's not talking. You're saying Turkey it was a hard time.
My life was.
I understand.
I may
worse
have been happy
then than you are now.
Yeah, but I was like Ryan. I was only chasing skirts. I only wanted to kiss or flirt with as many girls as possible.
It was all about the Lord and girls.
Yeah, where for me,
at the time.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you're saying that it wasn't until you stopped going to Turkey Hill that you discovered this passion. You were like, oh, now that I'm not doing this.
Yeah, it was kind of time to move on to the next stage. Like, what is next for me?
Hey, what is, I mean, this is kind of, we're kind of backtracking a little bit, but can you just give us a brief rundown of what retrograde is?
Oh, yeah. So that's retrograde, what we started with.
Retrograde is like your first, would you say it's the first bigger project that you're releasing? Because you had Awaken in a Dream.
Yeah, it was a smaller project, though.
That was a smaller project, but now this Retrograde.
Retrograde is definitely my biggest release.
Yeah.
So and it's what only is it? In writing right now, right?
Correct. Okay. And it's, well, then there's the ads. But I'm working on hiring an artist right now. I'm pretty excited about that because he's going to develop some serious concept art for whenever, or she, whenever I get them hired.
So can you give us like a brief overview, like a little teaser?
A astronaut with his crew begins a voyage to be the first wave to colonize the moon.
Oh.
And when a horrible accident went wrong and there was only one astronaut left that crash landed on a planet that just appeared in midair. It's 1 year later after his crash, living there alone for a year, he finds himself burdened with the strange appearance of a little girl. Huh. And his task is he's trying to find a way home for himself to get back to his wife and kid, Ariel and Alex. But now he's tasked with getting this little girl home as well.
And then I'm sure the rest of the book is the adventures that unfold and all the things like that.
Yeah, it gets pretty insane.
So it's like an astronaut and a little girl lost in space.
That's
rudimentary.
Reducing it down to.
Yeah.
I would never do that to you, Ryan.
It's okay.
he looked at me like, oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
So it's about an astronaut in space. Okay.
I mean, you're not wrong. yeah. There's a lot more to it.
It isn't less than that, but it's more.
it gets pretty insane by the end.
So how long is it?
140 pages.
Okay.
141, I believe.
Yeah, I remember when I was in Kansas City, you got a couple people to edit it or had a whole program.
I had three waves that I released it in. The first was obviously alpha, beta. The one you're talking about was my beta wave where it was beginning to that was the story editing process, not the grammar and that process. But
yeah, and I remember my friend said that the editing was like at the beginning he was like, this is rough, and then like a month later he was like, this is actually pretty good. If it does ever like turn into something, it would definitely be very interesting to like to see it. And
yes, it will turn into something. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah.
Hey, if you become like a big deal, can we have jobs?
No. I already made a deal with him. I said if he gets a big production, I said I get to audition for the first big thing that he makes.
Yeah, you can apply for jobs.
Can we be the little girl? Can Steven be the little girl?
I'll be the little girl.
Can I be the astronaut?
No.
No?
They're very specific descent.
Wait, well, if
can
you
I
had
be
to pick
a crewman on the astronaut? A specific descent? What? Are they black?
No. Comet, the little girl, comes from a deep Arizona descent. Native American.
So if you had to pick Halea. Halea could be the little
She's
girl.
She's Hawaiian, not Native American.
Similar. But no, actually, so let's say you picked. If you had
their
to pick,
skin's not white.
You had to pick someone
similar.
It could be someone famous. It could be one of our friends. It could be anybody. Like someone that'd be like,
yeah,
I would like this.
Who's the astronaut? Who's the astronaut? Like you get any big
John
name?
John Hamm.
Oh,
who's John Hamm?
Mad Men.
What's Mad Men?
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know how to help him. He was in Baby Driver.
The Baby Driver kid?
Ryan, can you help me out here?
Did you see Tag?
Yes.
He's the successful businessman in Tag.
Oh, okay. Ooh, yeah, he's a good actor.
He would
yes,
be a good
he's
one.
Very good.
He would be a good one.
Yeah, he is good. I like him.
Yeah, so do I.
Wow. Speaking of... Yeah, never mind, actually.
Speaking of Tag.
I didn't want to bring up Tag because I want that to die.
Yeah, the contract we were going to maybe draw up about Tag.
Yeah, I know.
That would have never worked.
We were talking about doing like a blood oath. Was that you?
It's already written.
Yeah. You wrote the contract?
Well, I'm still working on it, but it's almost done.
It would be fun. I mean, especially if like we all get older and we like move to other cities.
Yeah,
it'd be hard.
It's a way to keep us connected.
It'd be real hard.
That's the whole reason in the movie. I mean, yeah. I think it's a great idea.
I mean, that's what this kind of is. That's what the podcast is.
Yeah, the podcast for us is like same thing. Like,
it's just like a little hobby for us to do. You know?
Yeah,
I think it's great.
Yeah.
So Ryan, have you So you would just consider yourself an artist, right? Do you think of yourself as a writer?
It's very complicated because people ask when I was releasing Retrograde, people were like, was it a book? I mean, right. it's difficult. I technically am a author because it isn't necessarily a book.
Yeah.
But I'm also an artist because I create.
Right.
But I'm also a producer because I'm trying to create it into a film.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. So it's kind of complicated in that area, but.
So the plans, you don't want to do this, you don't want to stay in St. Louis?
No.
No.
Missouri and St. Louis are all temporary.
Where's the end goal?
Wherever I need to be. Whether that be Atlanta, Georgia, which is where the film industry is taking off, or Los Angeles.
Dude, that'd be sick if Georgia turned into like a new LA, like 20 years from now.
Well, I mean,
that'd be sick.
The thing is that a lot of filming's done in Georgia or was done in Georgia. Like things like The Walking Dead was shot there and all these
Avengers things. Endgame.
Avengers Endgame. The issue is that Georgia passed some sort of anti-abortion law, some sort of pro-life law. And all these big film companies are not going to Georgia anymore. They're going to like Canada or things like that, where there are like certain tax breaks.
I hope so. That's why I leave it up in the air. California is the goal right now, but
yeah,
it's really subjective to change.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been to California. I'm sure I would like to go, but I haven't heard any good things
from people. California?
From people who have gone, except for you. Everybody else I know who's been there has not.
I'm not really concerned about quality of living.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I've heard it's actually pretty run down and dirty, and it's really expensive. I've heard it's nice if you're rich.
Yeah, any place is nice if you're rich, though.
No, St. Louis. You don't have to be rich to live a nice life in St. Louis.
But if you are rich, it's nice.
Yes,
that's all I'm saying.
Anyways,
he's got a point.
Thank you, Ryan.
Any place is nice if you're rich. But not all places are nice if you're not rich.
Right.
Los Angeles is probably not a nice place if you don't have lots of money.
I agree.
So, Ryan, we almost moved in together. Right. We almost roommates.
Last summer.
And then I lost my job. And then I needed to – then I delayed the process, and we ended up not moving in.
Right.
But you were planning on going to L.A.
Yes.
Is that still your plan, your end goal?
Well, it is the end goal. Right now, I am working on paying off my car. That way, I have no debt when I'm going out there.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to save some money, obviously, which is going well.
Right.
But that is the ultimate goal. I need to take a certain leap to keep progressing.
Dude, you should buy an RV.
That's a terrible idea.
Dude, you should buy an RV and park it in like Walmart parking lots or whatever when you go out there. That's a thing. That's what people do.
I'd rather live in my car in beach showers than do that.
Wow. Okay. I'm just saying. I read an article about people like in San Francisco. They just park their RVs on the street, and that's where they live.
Property tax except your car.
Right.
That's nice.
All right. Yeah. So after Retrograde. So, like, what are the next steps here in Retrograde? You've released it. You've got some feedback. Has anybody given you negative feedback?
Not with Retrograde, no. Retrograde has been nothing but positive, which is really awesome.
What's the worst negative feedback you've ever gotten for this whole company?
Somebody said, and I quote, I'm not going to get into certain – I'm not going to get into certain things.
Was it one of us?
Some people said, no, no.
Is it your brother?
Somebody said, and I quote, I'm wasting my young years. Somebody also said – that Awaken in a Dream was really boring.
Wait, was Awaken in a Dream the
movie?
That's
not that bad.
No.
That's not that bad.
Well, the Wasting Your Young Years was pretty hard hit.
No, especially, Wasting Your Young Years is intense.
That is
pretty
bad. That's especially, right to the soul. Especially if it comes from someone you do love, like someone like close to you. Like if some rando off the street came to me and said to me, I'd be like, screw off.
Yeah, I feel you. But,
but if it was like my dad or my mom came to me and said that, I'm not saying that's your dad or your mom saying that. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Was it someone close?
It was someone closer, yes.
That did you suck. Cut him off? You were like, screw you, man.
No, you punch don't. Him in the face. Honestly, at that point, you don't want to have that a bitterness or anger. You want to have empathy that they can't see.
Yeah.
It's not. I don't feel. I almost feel sorry that that person said that instead of anger or resentment.
Wow. Pity the fool.
Steven, can you please stop scrolling on Instagram?
I got distracted.
I know you did.
But to answer your question, there are multiple projects in the work right now.
Yeah.
I'm working on a new short film called Me.
Ooh. Similar to the Netflix series You?
No.
Opposite.
I am the next story that I want to release, or turn into a book at least, is being worked on right now. It's already done, but I'm revising it to fit everything continuity wise.
Wow.
That will probably come September.
Man, I have so many questions, Ryan.
Ben, can you stop scratching your crotch?
All right. Hey, excuse me, Steven. Pinch and roll. You know, what? Don't call me out on the podcast, man. Come on.
You call me out on the podcast.
Hey. Don't go throwing stones when you live in a glass house, all right, Steven. Do you really want to open this can of worms?
I'll enjoy it. I have my cup of water here.
I was going to say, Steven, the things that you have done.
Proud of all of them.
So how are you going to get it? How are you going to get it published?
How am I going to get it published?
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions on how, and I'm trying to figure that out. I don't have exact answers for you.
I appreciate the honesty. I was just curious.
It's a lot. I mean, there's a... And I think to myself, how do I get to a $90 million budget that got approved?
What does it even mean to be published?
Published, I believe, is just...
Somebody takes on the...
It's when your book gets mass distributed, I believe.
Yeah. It's when somebody says, okay, yeah, I'll fork up the cash to actually send this to the press and
So it's more of a funder, like an investor. It's not like
kind of, because you need somebody to create the book, you need somebody to help promote the book, and you need a connection to get to like Barnes and Noble
Walmart
or whatever. I mean, you could. There are people who do that, but those people who do that have big personal brands where they can have like a large social media following, and they can say, just go to my website and order my book. Because like whenever if these bookstores see demand, they'll work with like. Smaller publishers, but it's easier to go to like one of the bigger ones. But that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about creativity, Ryan. What do you do whenever you're stuck?
I have never been stuck.
You've never had writer's block?
I've never had writer's block. Whenever I've sat down, it's just flowed. I don't know why. When people talk about writer's block, I don't understand it.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
That's never been an issue.
Okay.
I don't know why.
You've never struggled for like an idea or like how to connect an idea.
No.
Really? Mm. So
there's been things I've gone back and revised.
Yeah. So you don't ever struggle for creativity.
No.
Like, is there anything you do specifically to like when I do this, it like gets me in a creative mindset?
Okay. There is one thing I ran into a block with. I'm sorry, that wasn't your question.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
The things that get me in the mindset usually, and this is stupid, but I just listen to a lot of inspirational things on YouTube.
Like what?
Like
Tony Robbins? Like Joe Rogan?
Joe Rogan is one of them. I don't know who. I'd have to look up the other guy, but I literally am subscribed to like his text where he just literally texts me encouraging me.
Oh, is it Gary V?
Yeah, Gary V. Gary V is awesome.
Dude, I don't like Gary V.
Really? Why?
I can't stand Gary V. Maybe that's a little harsh, but I just, for him, like for me, I've just seen his work and it bugs me.
I also love watching like Walt Disney's demonstration of Epcot and stuff when he would come on camera. It's very inspirational to me too.
Yeah.
In fact, I have a book called One Man's Dream and it's an autobiography.
Didn't he hate Jews?
No.
He's not an anti-Semite?
No. You can.
Disney?
Here's what happened with all of that.
Yeah.
There were some things he put in movies that were socially acceptable at the time. But now when people look at them, it's like, so he was just going with the times. It's like George Washington owning slaves. It's not that that was good, but at the time it was like not frowned upon until the Civil War, obviously. Right. And so,
it's like Kevin Hart tweets.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know much about that, but I do know a little bit. So yeah, I mean, he That's wasn't. Interesting.
Yeah, I just Disney's a really interesting company. I just listened to an interview with
the Bob company is with, not like it used to be with Walt. Once Walt died, they hit a roadblock.
Yeah, but then they brought Walt's nephew or Walt's brother brought in Bob Iger.
Bob Iger, yes, but Bob Iger wasn't Walt.
No, of course not. Of course not.
That's but, so sad. I love cool people like Walt.
Okay. See the thing like is,
Bill Jobs, Steve Bill, Jobs, Steve
Jobs. Bill Jobs.
I was trying to say Bill like, Gates.
I love Steve cool people. Bill Jobs.
The thing is Walt brought inspiration to the world. Whether people see that as not, he was completely a positive figure, so much so that he was creating a community of tomorrow before he died.
Imagine if you meet a guy or girl and you just say, you know, hey, you know, whatever, like my name's Ben Carey, what's your name? And they said to you, my name's John Disney. It's crazy to think that there are people out there with a last name Disney, with like this connection to this big like Disney brand. Mm-hmm. I kind of forgot about that. You forget that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like there are people named Disney out there. Like he had a daughter and things like that.
Even cooler, I bet, is you know how like the Rockefellers, like the money is still living today.
Totally.
Disney money.
Yeah, they're all billionaires.
That's gonna
for
be
sure.
insane.
The billionaires for sure. Yeah.
But to answer your question, I do hit roadblock. There was one roadblock that keeps getting me.
What is it?
The creation of a language.
Do it.
Why no, you're
going to
say don't do it?
That.
I say do
because
that.
Because I'm
awesome.
Far too invested to stop now.
Like
really?
The Elvish language
I have
is so
spent,
cool.
I have spent a lot of time.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I
it's
feel like.
It's cool.
Oh, I mean, it is
it's
cool.
It's also like.
But it's just like a huge time commitment.
It's also this. Like if you did end up getting a following and like people loved Retrograde or loved your book or whatever, then that kind of stuff just feeds the flame.
Dude, I
and
don't
you can't
know.
Just come out with a language like, oh, I released Retrograde 10 years ago. Now I'm going to make a language for it. That's like, sure, but it's not
it just,
gonna be cool.
It just seems like it would be so much time.
It is a lot of time.
But it's like,
is
it worth it?
Ryan doesn't have a wife. Ryan doesn't have a girlfriend.
It's worth it. It's part, if I don't,
hey, we don't know
I pay attention to every little detail. And if you don't, then you lose sight of the universe.
Yeah.
Every little detail matters.
Do you have a wife or girlfriend?
I do not.
You're pretty content just being single.
Yeah, I think right now anything would distract me.
Any prospects? Any like girls that catch your eye and you're like, oh,
there's always girls that catch a guy's eye.
Once I create this language, then I'll maybe pursue her. Yeah. Well, I mean, plus, I guess
the language is a bonus. You need to understand that. But I've hit many roadblocks while doing it.
Imagine Ryan and his wife just talking in their language together. That'd be cool.
I mean, people do that. People do that with like.
What are you basing your language off of? Like already known language? Like it's gonna be your own language, but like.
A lot of format and ideas come from hieroglyphs and Greek.
So it's gonna be more like picture language, kind of.
No.
I mean,
no.
Hieroglyphs.
Yes and no. The design of the alphabet is more based around hieroglyphs. Yeah.
So, hey, like, Ryan. The alphabet's more like pictures.
Ryan, I got a question for you.
Kind of.
Ryan, this is something that... So, you listen to Joe Rogan.
Right.
I think you and I do. Steven doesn't like it.
Yes.
I like it now.
So, Joe talks about how he'll smoke marijuana for creativity.
Okay.
And he'll even do DMT. Do you have any inclination to do that for the creative... possible creative benefits, or does that not interest
you? No, I actually haven't had an alcoholic drink in a long time, probably over a year at this point.
Wow.
Because I'm actually more creative when I just sit down.
Well, that's good.
That's good.
That's interesting. Yeah, no, I mean, that's probably healthy.
Really, it's not like I have an issue with alcohol, it's just...
It's probably healthier.
I want to stay focused.
Yeah. Yeah, because we all know you like that Grey Goose, Ryan.
Yeah. It's the best out there. What can I say?
I've been thinking so much about drugs, actually, lately. Like, only recently in the last, like, week or two. And this is what sparked it, but it's gone like an explosion of thoughts.
Yeah.
I watched that World War II in color.
Yeah.
And it brought back up that fact like I told you about how in World War II – when they first started Blitzkrieg, they just ran through France, and they did like a 5-day blitz through France.
Yeah.
And all the soldiers stayed awake 24 hours, almost like for a long
time.
They
were on meth, yeah.
And they were staying awake by being on methamphetamine.
Okay,
And they, like, the guys talked about how when you're on meth, like, it it makes you feel invincible. Mm-hmm. It lowers empathy, mm-hmm. and it makes you like it
energetic,
you, which are like three things that make a super soldier.
Yeah.
So like running through France, jacked on meth.
We understand. Yeah.
Okay. So then I was thinking, and then like even the leaders of concentration camps were on meth. And, okay. Like it was like even Hitler, like his doctor was prescribing him meth.
Yeah.
Cocaine and meth. And so like, there's like, Nazi Germany was riddled with these intense drugs.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, I was like, man, imagine like the spiritual warfare too around drugs. Like even like the spiritual things that were like affected that's where he's by going drugs.
I thought you were going to say, I swear, I thought you were going to say, man, just imagine if you could do meth.
I didn't know where it was going, but
I just feel like it's like a, because like I've heard people talk about how a lot of origins of a lot of drugs are witchcraft and a lot of like dark like origins. And I don't know how much truth is to that, but I would imagine there's some truth to it. But like even things like spiritual getting with drugs, and like you've talked about, like Joe Rogan does a podcast that really interested you about mushrooms. Like Joe Rogan says he believes in spiritual realm because he's talked to beings.
Yeah, he calls them like the wood elves or something like that. Like he's said it repeatedly that he will do drugs, and the reason why he is not an atheist is because he will talk to beings in that, in that state.
In that mind state, yeah.
Yeah, and it's so scary when you hear him describe it, because it sounds like, you know, from our perspective, we're all Christians here. From our perspective, we are thinking like, oh, wow, he could be like messing around with the occult.
Mm-hmm.
Like the devil could be using these drugs to, just kind of like twist his mind. Yeah. It's very scary, actually. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be cool to bring somebody on to discuss it. Like, it'd be great.
Like a drug expert.
Well, not even a drug expert, but even like a
person that's done drugs.
No, I'm going in a different direction. Person. I was thinking like Nate. It would be interesting to bring Nate on. Neon.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be cool to get Nate on, period.
Yeah, I mean, it would be fantastic. We could probably do like 10 episodes straight. But I'm just saying, I don't feel like I'm knowledgeable enough in the Bible to like really dig into drugs and things like that.
I just like to think about it.
Yeah, it is really interesting.
And this is one of the thoughts that sparked off this whole train of thought is so like when you are on drugs, your mindset is so altered.
Yeah,
Then like I think that let me start with this experience. So I had an experience the other night where I was like laying in bed because I'm still afraid of the dark at 24 years old. And I was laying in bed, like, just scared. Just
wait, do you sleep really with the light on, or do you sleep in the dark?
No, I sleep in the dark.
Okay, that's the way to go.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. You're not scared of the dark.
Yeah, I am.
Wait,
like, I'm not, like, deathly afraid of the dark, but I get scared in the dark.
Okay.
But it's just, like, I'm a man. I have to deal with it, so I just go on with my day in the dark. Anyway, so I'm laying in bed in the dark, and I'm scared. And so, like, I was thinking, like, I was thinking about what could possibly, like, be, what am I scared of, even. Like, it's stupid that I'm scared. But then I thought, like, if a demon was to come up to me and, like, grab me and, like, attack me and trying to kill me, and then, like, I was thinking, what would be the implications of that to my life? And then I was thinking, like, the next day I'd be, like, I'd be on fire. I'd be, like, this is real, guys. Like, demons are real. Like, we are fighting a prevalent enemy. So it would just cause me to whole revolutionize my spiritual faith. So where I'm going with this is, with drugs, your mindset is so altered that, like, that's not going to be my reaction if I have this encounter with a spiritual being while I'm on drugs. It's going to be like a whole different experience because one, my story now is discredited by most people because, well, you were tripping on LSD when you had this experience. So who knows what you really experienced even.
Right.
And so like, I feel like that kind of stuff really opens up to like demons. Like I can do whatever I want to them right now because they're on drugs. And like, it's also this altered mind state. So I think it really does. Like, I don't know if it's I don't want to say it's the drugs that do it. I think that it's just the mind state that the drug puts you in really does like put you in the situation where the spiritual warfare that is constantly around us can affect you differently.
There's an interesting book I read on this. There was a tribe, I think it was the Shaman tribe or the Shaman Indians with the Yanomamu tribe, and they constantly did drugs. But when a missionary came, they said this great spirit came with him, and all the other spirits would run away and scream and tremble. It's very interesting because when he got saved, he said the great spirit picked him up and held him in his hand.
Wow.
It's or something along those lines. It's not word for word, but it's pretty incredible. It's called Spirit of the Rainforest is the book.
Dude, you know something really weird that just happened last week? So I have roommates in my school that I'm with, and he used to room in a different room with one of his other friends in my apartment, but then his friend that he roomed with graduated. So he moved out of that room and into my friend's room. He's a non-believer. The other day we were all like in the living room talking, and he was like, I had the weirdest experience last night. We were like, what? And he was like, I was sleeping and I woke up and there was like someone like was above my bed. And he said that he grabbed his head and was like trying to drag him out of bed by his head.
No.
Yeah, no, that's what he was saying. He felt, and he says, the weirdest thing he'd ever experienced. And then what was weird is he was like, and my ears have been like hurting all day, and his ears were red, which like I think that happens. Ears get red all the time. But still, like, and it was just weird. And I was like, and I was talking to my friend about it. I was like, my roommate that's my friend, I was like, man, like, what if like he's like unsaved and like there's a spiritual warfare going on around him since like you're saved and he's not, and then like there's this, I don't know. When he told me that was like where my mind went. I was like, that'd be freaky.
It's real.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real.
It's prevalent.
It's real. We should be cautious not to almost like glorify.
Yeah.
Like these dark forces at work, because like we want to acknowledge it, but like, I don't know. Because like for me, I'll talk about it almost like it's a scary movie or something like that. Like it's almost like cool.
And it's like entertaining too.
Yeah, yeah, entertaining.
Like it's and like it, Dance Monkey Dance.
No, it's not like that. It isn't like Dance Monkey.
No, that's what you talk about it like. Like it's like a story to entertain you. It's a story to like to spice things up. Like
yeah,
oh,
no, it is.
It's like dark outside. Let's talk about some demon stories.
Right. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah, it is like entertainment. It's like telling ghost stories around a campfire.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made an impression on me whenever Nate was like, yeah, we just remember, you know, I don't exactly remember what he said, but he's basically like, we need to, you know, not to glorify
it. So how do you talk about it and not glorify it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think it's, I mean, maybe it'd be.
I'd like to talk about it. When I talk about it, it gives me hope. Like, it makes me excited. I mean, by me telling you that story when I was scared in my bed,
yeah.
The result of me talking about that and experiencing that was that I felt no fear after that, because I was like, if a demon's not going to attack me now, because I know that all it's going to do is drive me to Christ.
Well, so the thing is that I think it's important to remember that there's another force working. And, you know, things like angels.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, it's dark. We're sitting out campfire. We talk about, you know, demonic things or whatever, like. But we never really talk about angels and or mm-hmm. anything like that or experience, because I'm sure that people are having experience with angels out there. And, you know, I don't know. It just kind of like it feels weird to talk about it even now. But, you know, that's a huge part of scripture. Angels were fairly active. I just like those are kind of stories that I would want to hear, because I would find those encouraging.
Mm.
But that's kind of getting away from the Fitzgerald Productions a little bit.
It's okay. We can veer.
You don't have to talk about Fitzgerald Productions.
I know. But, like, Ryan is here, and I do want to, like, I had another question that I wanted to talk about. But it is interesting. I guess I'm glad to hear that you're not going to use, you know, drugs to kind of, like, fuel the creativity.
Yeah, we're glad you're not doing drugs, Ryan.
Yeah. That was never a thought process to start with.
Yeah.
Although, no, I do know what Ben's saying, though, because, like, I do enjoy, like, getting together with some friends that, like, will like to smoke a pipe, and I'll smoke a pipe, and, like, get some nicotine in your body. Does, like, for me, it has the same effect on me as, like, coffee does. Like, coffee makes me feel, like, it gets my thoughts going. It gets me, like, motivated.
Well, I mean, they call it the, you know, that's, like, the rider stack is a cup of, you know, black coffee and a cigarette for the nicotine. So.
Yeah. And so, like, I definitely understand where you're coming from. It's just funny to think of Ryan doing meth.
The only time I drink coffee is when I needed to stay awake.
Yeah. And it's good, honestly, to stay away from. It activates my GERD.
How's your nephew doing?
He's good. He's 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's that like, having, like, a newborn baby in the house?
Oh, I love him. He's a little cutie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that's got to be a cool feeling.
It's pretty cool.
I really want Gabby to have a baby.
I got home from camp last summer the night he was born, so it was pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, Juan, here's a topic I want to ask you about, Ryan.
And how much longer do we want this podcast to be?
I think this would be the last question.
All right.
Because the next episode, I think it'd be fun if we talked about working out, like talk about fitness.
You think that would be fun?
I think it'd be fun. Dude, I've been working out since I've been back at school. I worked out when I was in Kansas City.
Okay.
I like to work out. I just do it differently than you.
Okay.
That's fine. So you've been working out a lot, Ryan. How's that going?
It's been going excellent. I actually have had a break because I got super sick. I got something in my lungs. It was deeper than a cold. So
oh, wow.
I've had to take a break because I literally couldn't breathe for like a week and a half, 2 weeks. And I'm still on the tail end.
So you have felt yourself getting stronger, right?
With working out?
Yeah, like, no, like, just like, yeah, with working out.
Yeah,
just
yeah, absolutely. I will never go back to not working out.
It's a pretty cool feeling, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Like, getting stronger.
It's fantastic. It just
what
makes
you mean
you feel better.
You won't go back to not working out?
I'll never not work out again.
Do you so does it kind of make you understand why I say, like, when you feel strong, you feel like you can't die?
No.
No. Okay.
Yeah, I don't get that
just
either.
Just me? Okay.
So I asked him what you mean by you won't stop working out, because, like, I see both sides. Like, I'm working out now, and it does feel great. Like, and typically, like, working out does solve a lot of my problems.
It keeps you in a very good discipline. So when I'm not sick, working out every other day, no matter what, it keeps you disciplined and at hard work.
Yeah.
And it also makes you eat better.
It mentally makes you strong.
Yes.
Do you work out in the mornings or the evenings? Because it sounded like your schedule was pretty packed.
Some days I have to do mornings, so I'll wake up at 5 before work and go work out and then come back.
Oh, wow.
But some days, most days I'll do it in the evenings because it's way better.
Yeah, man. I did that for 4 or 5 years.
It's pretty terrible.
The thing is,
it sucks.
Well, no, when you're up that morning and you're sitting there like sweating and panting, you're like, what is the purpose of this right now? So why am I doing this to myself?
The thing is that
I've never worked out in the morning.
The thing is that for me, I got to a state where I was doing it so often that I could almost wake up and be alert. Like my body was just used to it. And I felt good. I felt normal. And the thing is that when I was doing that, I had to go to bed at a certain time, and I would wake up at a certain time every single day.
Is I would do that, but my bedtime fluctuates too much.
Yeah.
If I have work that needs to get done, and I'm up till 2:30, there's nothing I could do about it.
And I think that inhibits it.
Yeah, I would agree. And that's why it's not my primary focus.
But it was so nice, though.
It is. It's very beneficial, but it's not my primary focus.
It was nice getting out of the way. You know what? I mean, we're going to talk about this on the next episode, so I guess I'll save it for that. But I cannot wait for a home gym. It's going to be a life changer.
Oh, like a gym in your home?
Totally.
The biggest reason that I see the side of working out, I know, I won't talk to it deep, but the biggest reason that I work out is to get that high, the workout high.
Oh, really? The pump?
That's it. But, like, because the thing is like, for me, that high doesn't just end after, like, that day. Like, I work out that day, I get the high. Like, I'm still on my workout high now.
The endorphins, yeah.
And that's like what I do it for. But I see both sides.
Yeah.
Like I love not working out. There's a lot of advantages to that to see in my life.
To not working out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what advantages?
Next episode.
You're nice. All right.
All right.